They used in the last 3 years 76 different types of pesticides. 34 of those 76 are known to be carcinogenic. They have the growers refuse to accept this. And while they can't give us a real answer, they hide, always hiding behind what they say is that there's no positive effect. There's no real study that shows that pesticides do cause cancer. And so we point to the children who are suffering, and they say it must be something else. Could never be pesticides. Although they can prove, they say we can't prove there's pesticides, they can't themselves prove that it isn't pesticides. The government spends its time writing reports. They have reams of reports trying to make people believe the pesticides are really okay. Can you imagine the state government, the county government, the federal government, all involved in this fight, trying to fool the public, continue to fool the public? The pesticides really aren't that dangerous, and that could be very well be something else. There's a high rate of cancer there, and in this areas you show in the video, that we show in the video, birth deformities, very high. Still births are very high. Babies born, we had two children born without brain. An increasing rate of sterility among the workforce. Low-weight births are just a lot of them. The upper tract respiratory problems with children is higher than anywhere else in the country. We estimate 80% of the workforce has some kind of dermatitis, some kind of skin problem caused by the pesticides, and a frightening rate of miscarriages taking place in that workforce, and of course, even death. Pesticides are everywhere. They're sprayed by tractor rig and by plane, by helicopter, so they're in the fields, they're in the streets, they're in the soil, the air, the water. All the water is contaminated. It's been contaminated for years now. They're in the schoolyards, the backyards, they're in the playgrounds and the parks. The workers are being poisoned, the babies are dying, and we can't get the industry to take a look and say at least do a study. We cannot get the state of California to come and do a study, so once and for all we'll all know they won't do it. Pesticides by nature, as you know, is poison. The only reason that they're made is to kill living things. There isn't such a thing as a safe pesticide. There may be safer pesticides, but not safe pesticides. There's more poisoning in the grape vineyards than all the other crops put together in California. More reports of poisonings and damage to workers in grapes than all the other crops combined in the state of California. That is only part of the problem. But the cancer and the children dying manifests the problem very severely. See, what happens is that every business in this country grew and developed on the backs of workers more than any other industry, and has continued to do that. They've been able to maintain what they call a surplus labor pool. More workers than jobs. That's been the history of agribusiness in the United States. To keep the wages low and the conditions miserable and keep the competition, keep the hours and conditions down, you have more workers than you have jobs. And they do that because agribusiness is the most powerful lobby group in the country, and they control immigration legislation. If they say no, it's no in immigration. If they say yes, it's yes. They're the ones that do immigration. That's how they've done it. They had the Chinese here, then had the Japanese and the Hindus and the Filipinos and the Mexican. Then they went over, and when they started running out of people because there was reaction, recall in the turn of the century, or before the turn of the century, the public was reacting against the Chinese importation because there were too many, and in fact there was a Nation Exclusion Act that was written into law because of that fear. So growers began to understand that they can't go overboard because then they get a reaction from the community. So what they've done is they try to balance that because they were getting a Nation Exclusion Act. They were trying to get the Japanese out. They were deporting Mexicans in large numbers to go back to Mexico. So finally they went over to the south and recruited, because of the conditions there, recruited thousands of white workers that come into agriculture, beginning in the late, in the early 30s and all through the 30s, and that changed the face of agriculture for a while. Then the Bracero came when the government, both governments, Mexico and United States, made agreements, unilateral agreements, workers not involved, to bring workers because of the war effort. They needed workers there, so they brought them in only for the war effort. Well, we never got rid of the program until 1964. The war ended, and they continued bringing in as many as 500,000. Depressed the wages, kept the unions out. And what I'm saying is that this is what they do, and they're very good at it. There's been more strikes. In 1939, there were 258 strikes in California. Every strike was broken. Every union was destroyed, every strike was broken, and nothing, workers got nothing out of it. And they've been trying. In 1935, when the law passed to protect industrial workers to have collective bargaining rights, the farm workers were excluded. And the argument was, because of the large, powerful lobby groups and the growers, the argument was that, well, unions in agriculture would not be viable anyway. And furthermore, these workers aren't really unreal Americans. They're not citizens. They're immigrants. So we shouldn't worry too much about them. And so they've kept that. Give me an example today, right now, today, in agriculture. They have a gimmick where people come in and they're undocumented workers or recent immigrants will come in asking for a job, and the labor contractor will tell them, well, you know, we know that you don't know how to do a job. We know you're new and you just arrived, and so we can't give a job unless you work for me for 2 weeks so that I can find out whether or not you can do the work. And then they work for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, they're told, no, we're sorry, we can't hire you. About 15 to 18% of all the workers work that will never get paid. We have a case now in federal court of a woman, 26 years old, came and worked for 6 months, never got paid, changing employers every 2 weeks. Trying to get rid of the women. Grapes are done, women pack the grapes and the men cut the grapes. And it's a very skilled job. Don't kid yourself, very skilled job. Packing grapes is a very highly skilled job. And they're trying to get rid of the older women who've been there, who actually built the industry. Because there's so many workers, they want to get the younger workers and get rid of this. So they now come up with quotas. They have quotas for these women, and the quota can't be met. And so what happens is that they come in before work. They come in like an hour, half an hour before work without getting paid in work extra. They work, they don't take their breaks, and they don't take a lunch break. They eat with one taco in one hand and working. They work after hours without getting paid just to make the quota so that they won't get fired. They have a vicious system of enforcing the quota. Every day, they take a tally of the production, and the person who is the lowest of the production that day gets a ticket. It doesn't matter how long you've been there, 10 years, 15, 20 years, 30 years. If you're lucky enough to be on that, to be the bottom of that production quota 3 times in a row, you get fired.